This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 7:07. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn, and we're going to be moving on to our next topic, which you might also want to weigh in on. It's a follow-up, actually, to a story this morning about Bersatu potentially opening its leadership positions to Malaysians who are non-Malay. And what this means is that Bersatu, from its roots as a Malay and Bumiputra party, is pivoting to becoming a multiracial party, or at least so the announcement would indicate. And so what we wanted to look at now is whether or not a party can reinvent itself, especially when it is dealing with something that is so charged in our country, such as race, and also what it would take to successfully do so. So over the weekend, Bersatu President Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin said that Bersatu is thinking of setting up a new chapter for the party, and that will let non-Malay associate members hold positions. This would then, of course, allow Bersatu to accommodate Datuk Sri Azmin Ali's faction, since his allies include former PKR leaders and members who are non-Malay. Tan Sri Muhyiddin said that this step was the way forward for the party. Now, the recurring issue here is whether they'll be successful with their reinvention. Some political analysts have said that the move will shun the party's more conservative supporters and those outside its orbit, and they may view Bersatu as moving away from its original goals. On the flip side of that, Bersatu's move might appeal to a larger voter base and give the party a more positive image. So this pivot also steers them directly into competition with, of course, PKR. And it will be interesting to think about how this might, if at all, affect their standing with voters come next election. So I think a few things. And for me, top of mind is whether or not this, outside of the political manoeuvrings that this really kind of serves, I think there is also a broader question of whether this is a convincing pivot, whether or not there is going to be more messaging, right, to talk about the reasoning behind it and what's actually going to take place. Because otherwise, if the DNA or what your party was initially founded on is so strongly to do with a certain angle, I think pivoting away from that can be difficult, and can be difficult to do convincingly. So that's what we wanted to talk about. And we are going to be speaking with James Chai, who is the head of commercial and research at Invoke Solutions, after this. If you would like to weigh in on Bersatu and its current, proposed, announced pivot towards becoming a more multiracial party, and what you make of that, whether you find it appealing or otherwise, you can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Bigotry Free Malaysia, BFM 89.9.
It's 7:15. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn, and we are looking at whether or not a political party can reinvent itself and what it takes for that to stick. So this is coming because Bersatu has announced that they're potentially opening up leadership positions to non-Malay Malaysians. And this is coming, of course, from Bersatu, which has its roots as a Malay and Bumiputra party. So we wanted to talk about that shift in position and whether and how that works, really, and whether or not, what do you make of it? You can let us know by calling 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. So on the line with us now is James Chai, Head of Commercial and Research at Invoke Solutions. James, thanks for joining us.
Hi, good evening.
So what is your read of this move from Bersatu, and what do you think, where do you think it's coming from?
I think even if you ask Bersatu members currently, I don't think that they believe that this move comes from a deep-seated belief that Bersatu, as well as Azmi Ali and his gang, wants to create a multiracial Malaysia. I don't think it comes from that. It is pure and simple. This move, it is to make room for Azmi Ali as well as the 10 other MPs that he's going to bring in, which coincidentally have a few non-Malays as well as non-Bumiputras. And for Muhyiddin, for him now, it's all about numbers. How does he strengthen his hand? To increase bargaining power by allowing Azmin Ali and his team of 10 MPs to come in, his number now is around 30-plus MPs, the fourth largest party in the parliament. So that would give him more bargaining power. So it is from a power's perspective is where this move came from.
So if we were to flip that conversation, right, then what would make Basatu an attractive option at the moment? I guess we can safely say it's mostly for existing politicians looking for a new party. So what would make Basatu an attractive option for that group, or conversely, potentially for someone fresh to politics looking for a political home?
I think Basatu now, after having this new Azmin Ali wing joining, they would attract and appeal to people who are like them. In other words, people who believe that you can pursue power for power's sake and you take easy paths to power. I don't think that they can attract much voter support. And that's why I think that this move is potentially miscalculated, because it is much easier for you to maneuver things at the top. In other words, you don't have to necessarily be credible, competent, or very principled in order to get what you want at the top. But to get that voter support on the ground, you probably need to be credible in what you say and do. And that's why the only credibility that flows from this crop of people now is that these people are very good at getting what they want, either through the back door or underhanded means. So if you are interested in getting things fast, you join them. But if you are interested in shaping like a multiracial Malaysia or Malaysia that is economically equal, provides ample opportunities, this group or this party definitely doesn't have that appeal.
Right. So you don't then see this move actually creating a more diverse party?
I don't think so. I think when it comes to diversity, I don't think it's as easy as just taking a few people in to fit a certain bill. So, for example, Bersatu previously, they had associate members that are non-Malays. It didn't really change the impression of what Bersatu is, which is fundamentally a Malay nationalist party. So diversity doesn't just come from piecing certain group of people to join you. It is also about whether you make diversity the central cause of what you do. And of course, like what you said, it must be convincing enough for the rest to follow through. So I don't think that this creates a more diverse party. If anything, it is only formal and not substantive.
And what do you think the messaging might be like, either to, at least, communicate or try to communicate that sense of diversity, whether it happens on the ground level or not, or conversely, for people who are keen for the party to hold on to its roots, having to accept new faces in leadership potentially?
Yeah, I think when it comes to messaging, it is always quite difficult for a party like Bersatu, where it has its cause fundamentally rooted in a certain identity. In other words, if your identity is Malay nationalist, it's very hard for you to hold the same message, which is you are multiracial. And to be honest, a lot of parties like UMNO, PAS, Amanah, these people have always said that we will protect the rights of the majority, but the rights of the other people will also be taken care of. It has been said, this whole dissonance has been used many, many times. And most of the time, people don't quite believe it. And that's why whenever you look into the numbers, non-Malays votes for Malay-based parties are still very, very low. If, let's say, they have a non-Malay option in on the other side. So it's always very hard for this messaging to make sense to most of the voters. But more importantly, because Bersatu before this has been built on Mahathir's philosophy of protecting indigenous people's rights, the original people of the country, it means that from the youth level in the party, the EXCO, the women's wing, they have built quite a strong narrative of being the greatest defenders of the Malay rights. It is unescapable because you need that as your identity. They need to be the stronger defender than the next party in defending Malay rights. So it's very hard for them to all of a sudden accept the need for them to tone down, because firstly, it's not who they are. And second of all, why should they tone down for a newcomer who's coming in that hasn't contributed to the party before? So at a grassroots level, I already know that there is a huge uproar and resistance. And therefore, the messaging would once again be reduced to lip service, probably worse than what UMNO and PAS has done in the past. Because at least now they are more sincere in not even trying to pay those lip service anymore, right? So that is what I see as one of the greatest challenges of Bersatu.
And on a broader level then, you know, while we are talking about this idea of defending race-based rights as an identity, do you think that Malaysians are looking to move away from race-based parties, or has what has occurred over the last, I don't know, 4 or 5 years or so kind of further entrenched those lines?
At this current moment, I think that race-based perceptions or policies are obviously driven to an extreme. But that is also why that Malaysians would ultimately move back to the centre, which is one that is not race-based. Because I think fundamentally, regardless of which race you are, the minority groups simply want a representation. They don't quite necessarily require a non-Malay party to get things done. It's just that they don't want to be like a by-the-way in the general scheme of things. They just want to be considered with equal amount of weight to their voices. And whereas the majority race, the Malays, they just need to feel secure and not feel like they're constantly under threat and their interests are being taken care of. And that's why in the future, especially the younger generation when they come in, what they would see is that race-based narratives being driven to the extreme is good for nobody. But we require that kind of cycle. It has to get worse before it gets better. That's what I believe. And the fundamental goodness of Malaysians, which has been consistent for centuries, this higher appreciation for accommodation and tolerance for one another, the preference for peace over violence, has been very, very consistent in who we are. And that's why when it comes to race-based narratives, over time, it will be unsustainable, but it takes, the conservatism being driven to the extreme a bit for you to recognise that whatever was played up by politicians in the past to drive fears in your heart, it's not a sustainable solution if you want to progress in the long term.
And lastly, right, I mean, we're having this conversation amidst this ongoing, I don't know, looming idea of snap polls. And so amidst that, where does Bersatu stand in all of this with the inclusion of potentially these new members and of these new members also being able to take hold of party leaderships? How does this put them in terms of, you know, their stead with the voters?
So Azmin Ali, as well as a few of his followers, before, I think it was a few weeks ago, they went to Penang and they went to Anwar's stronghold, which is Pematang Pau, currently held by Nur Izzah, and said that they need a change of leadership. And I think what they're planning to is to go to all of the non-Malays and mixed seats across the country, because currently, if they are part of Muafakat National with UMNO and PAS, they have very little chance of taking more Malay seats than they currently have. And that's why they are forced to find a piece of pie on their own. And Azmin Ali's political capital, he seems to think, is in the mixed seats. The problem with that is that a lot of these mixed seats, especially in Penang and Selangor, they are also city areas, urban areas. These people are very unforgiving to Bersatu as well as Azmin Ali, who they regard as having betrayed their trust. If you look into the Twitter universe, which is not the most representative area, but you can tell that that's at least the urban-centric sentiment, it is very, very negative to Azmin Ali and his gang. And that's why I don't think that they would necessarily have enough time, even if you give them like 3 to 5 years, to build enough of the voter support from the ground. So I just wanted to iterate one point that a lot of what they do, the tactics that they have adopted, is workable on an elite level at the top only, where there are fewer people that you need to betray. But trying to do that with the voters is extremely difficult. So voters have a higher appreciation for what has been done before, because they are very rarely the direct beneficiaries. And that's why they would make decisions on right and wrong more clearly than the ones at the top. But that also gives you some faith to know that the people will ultimately make a decision that is best for the country, hopefully.
James, thanks for speaking with us this evening.
Thank you. Have a good evening.
You too. That was James Chai, head of commercial and research at Invoke Solutions, talking to us about Bersatu and the announcement that they are potentially opening their leadership positions to non-Malay Malaysians. This has yet to be discussed at their EGM. We do have actually this comment here from, let me see, I believe it is from Cheryl Akma, who wants to know, only leadership positions, what about memberships for all Malaysians? And I think actually you can already join Bersatu regardless. The question here is really about that issue of leadership and whether or not there has to be changes to the party constitution in order for that to happen. We do also have other comments flowing in. We will get to that after the 7:30 news. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.